WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives. One moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. When it comes to communicating long distance, all the rules of the game have changed. Beepers ring in movie theaters. People carry on heated phone conversations at restaurant tables. Office mates read your personal messages that have been faxed to you while you're being dissed in cyberspace. But we don't need to be faced with high-tech anarchy. Miss Manners is on the case. Miss Manners is the persona of Judith Martin, who has spent the past few decades updating the rules of etiquette to keep pace with a constantly changing world. Martin's new book is called Miss Manners Basic Training, Communication. I asked her if it's acceptable to use your phone answering machine to screen calls.
It certainly is. The answering machine has had a very funny life. When it first came in, people were indignant that it existed, and they made that dread charge that you just made. Aha, they screen their calls. And now it's really come around to where people are indignant if someone doesn't have an answering machine. So I had to call back, and they had nothing, no place for me to leave my message. It's a wonderful thing, the answering machine. And of course people want to screen their calls. Nobody wants to live on call all day and all night to whoever wants to dial the number. It's a perfectly reasonable thing to do. You screen your mail, don't you? You don't answer every single letter the minute it arrives, and some things you never answer. The telephone brings a lot of unsolicited calls that certainly need to be screened. But even among those whom we adore and love to talk to, perhaps not right this very minute.
You know, here's the thing. I confess, I sometimes use my home answering machine to screen calls. On the other hand, I really hate it when I'm calling somebody who I know is screening the call, and I feel like, you know, I'm auditioning to see if I'm important enough to have my call accepted.
This is the crux of the etiquette problem. Everybody wants to be able to do what they don't want other people to do to them.
Precisely.
There you have it.
Precisely.
You're not necessarily being auditioned to see how important you are. Suppose the person on the other end is in the middle of dinner or a bath or a romance or a good book or something. Why should you feel that people have to drop everything in order to talk to you? It's probably not that urgent, is it?
Well, you know, at home, you know, at work, I think we're used to you screen your calls, or there's a secretary who's paid to screen them for you. But at home, we were all brought up with the instinct, the phone rings, you pick it up.
I know, and a really rotten system that was, too, that we were brought up on. It's very hard to disabuse people of this idea, but the telephone is by nature a very rude instrument. It always says, I don't care what you're doing, drop everything and attend to me. Now, that's a very rude request. And the taming of it has been long overdue. God bless the answering machine. If you are fortunate enough to have a secretary who does this at work, good for you. It's usually now voicemail does it. But apparently you're not fortunate enough to have a butler who does it at home. So for a comparatively small outlay, you can get an answering machine to do it.
Now, what does Miss Manners think of this? Sometimes people will call when they know the party isn't home, so that they can leave the brief message and then hang up without getting entangled into a long conversation.
Good for them. It's too bad those people don't have pencils and paper, or pens and paper, because they could sit and write a little message. There are very often times when one needs to leave a little message but doesn't need to get involved in a conversation.
So Miss Manners approves of this use of an answering machine?
There, we are blessed now with 1,000 different ways of communicating with other people. And the idea, and in fact this is what this book is about, is to select the appropriate one. And you do not always need to have feedback. You don't always need to be in touch instantly. You select the one that disturbs people the least and does the job.
My guest is Judith Martin, and her new book is called Miss Manners, Basic Training, Communication. Miss Manners loathes call waiting. I like call waiting. I mean, I like to have call waiting. I don't like to be interrupted when I'm calling
somebody
else.
There you have it again, yes. It's rude for other people, but it's fine for me because I'm busier than you are. I'm more important, so on and so on. Yes.
But it's worth it to me to get interrupted in other people's conversations to know that if someone really needs to reach me when I'm on the phone, they can get through, and I don't have to just, like, not use the phone if I'm expecting a phone call, which is what used to be. You had to, like, just stay away from the phone.
Well, which isn't a bad idea. The principle on which call waiting is based is last come, first served. That is a very unjust principle. And I am not anti-technology.
No, wait, let me stop you. Wait, wait, wait.
Oh, I'm trying to interrupt
Miss Manners. What am I doing? What have I done?
What are you doing? Yes.
After you.
I'm not anti-technology. I love all these wonderful new ways we have of communicating. I'm just for using them properly. But the one that has no proper use, except as people are pointing out to me, getting through to the neighbor who's chatting away and doesn't realize his house is on fire. That's what they all claim to have call waiting for. Except for that, there is no polite use of that because it means you drop a person who is talking to you for someone whom you deem more important, or at least full of potential for being more important. It is the electronic equivalent of scanning the room with your eyes at a party while you're talking to one person, hoping you can find somebody better.
Now, you said that call waiting is kind of last come, first served. I disagree a little bit. I think it's like the last person comes in and they take a number. Because when
they don't take a number. They have you stop your first call, and you go on. You keep the first person waiting while you attend to the second person. Now they are developing in some areas a system whereby the telephone merely takes a message from the second person while you're on the first call, and you don't interrupt the first call. That's fine.
Right. For me,
it's keeping the first person waiting. It's saying, you sit here and do nothing while I go see what the other possibilities are.
The other day, I called somebody up, and as the phone was ringing, I thought better of it, hung up, and then the person dialed star 69 and called me right back, and I was actually kind of embarrassed.
Yes. Well, you had already disturbed that person, and I'm very wary of this little callback situation, which was really designed to catch criminals who misuse telephones and not to be a kind of fake answering service. But the fact is, if you have dialed someone erroneously and they're right at the phone, as this person obviously was, you can take that extra second and say, I'm terribly sorry.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Judith Martin, and her new book is called Miss Manners, Basic Training, Communication. This is Fresh Air. Back with Judith Martin, who writes the syndicated Miss Manners column, and her new book is about communication. Let's talk about cellular phones, and these are cropping up everywhere now. I've been in the position, I'm sure you have too, of being in a restaurant where the person next to you is carrying on a conversation with their telephone, and boy, the first few times I saw that, it was so odd to me. It's becoming more routine. But what do you think about that, sitting alone in a restaurant talking on the phone to somebody? You're not being rude to your friends. They're not with you.
That's right. And so why are you paying attention to the person at the next table instead of to your own guest or your own food or your own telephone, perhaps? Telephones are disturbing when people scream into them, in which case the disturbance is talking too loudly, not being on the telephone. There are two mistaken notions about the cellular phone. One is that when there is a new piece of equipment, this is hardly new, but it's still something of a novelty, that there are no etiquette rules, that technology is moving faster than etiquette. No, it's not. I'm keeping up. And in this case, it's a very simple step because what is rude without a cord, with a cord, would also be rude without a cord. The cellular telephone can properly be used when a telephone with a very long cord could be used. Telephones are plugged into restaurant tables for people eating by themselves, and as long as they're not noisy, I don't see anything wrong with it. It would be hideously wrong if there were someone else at the table. Obviously, at least it's obvious to me, a cellular telephone does not belong in a concert hall or a church or at a dinner party, any more than one could make a telephone call, if that had been possible, that would disturb other people at such an event with a regular phone.
Now, I'm not sure if this is a question for Miss Manners or not, but I'm sure you've thought this over. In so many corporations and places of business now, you call to find out some information or to talk to someone, and you get the electronic menu. And you can do this for 5, 10, 15 minutes and still not connect to the party or the extension that you need. You keep pressing different buttons and getting connected to more menus and getting different options and pressing more buttons. And I suppose it's saving the corporation a lot of money, but it's wasting you a lot of precious time.
In which case, the corporation isn't going to make money because you're going to get fed up and hang up before it's over. This is just a badly programmed system. It isn't the system itself. That can save a lot of time. If I want to know if a flight I'm meeting or taking is going off on time or arriving on time, I really don't need to have a heart-to-heart talk with the president of the company or anybody else in the company. It's wonderful that they have programmed frequently asked questions with the answers so that people do not need to be disturbed, or planned routing so that you don't have to keep asking people to transfer the calls and then they hang up on you by accident and you have to call back. But if it is an endless line leading nowhere, then it's been badly done.
Judith Martin is my guest. She writes the syndicated Miss Manners column and has a new book called Miss Manners Basic Training Communication. I don't know how much time Miss Manners spends in cyberspace, but what are some of the cyberspace etiquette questions that are coming up now?
Email is a fascinating situation in connection with etiquette, because for the first time we have a community that has none of the safeguards, however slight, that ordinary community life has. You can't read someone's body language. You don't know if you've got them by the right name. You certainly don't know people they know, and so on. You are dealing not only with strangers, but strangers you can't see and probably never will. And it depends all the more strongly on etiquette. Of all the people in the society who have been going around mindlessly saying, oh, etiquette is an old-fashioned thing, we don't need it anymore, none of those are people who spend any time in cyberspace. They are very etiquette-aware and always writing etiquette rules, because the activities that they enjoy in cyberspace can be totally ruined by bad manners. There's an example in the paper today of Maryland state government had a bulletin board for citizens to make their comments, and people were putting obscene comments on it, and they've had to shut it down. The activity is not possible if people are going to be blatantly rude on it. Not only obscenity, but hogging all the time or trying to sell things to people in a social setting and so on. And the etiquette rules are multiplying in cyberspace. It's a very exciting frontier of etiquette.
You use email a lot?
Yes.
I wonder, when you're using email, if you use some of the polite formalities that we use in letter writing. Do you write a salutation, dear so-and-so, and a close, fondly, sincerely, thanks?
It's not the same as a letter. It's partway between a letter and a telephone call, really sort of more like a postcard. In more respects than one, in the sense that it's not really private and don't count on its being. The essential ingredients of form for email are the address, of course, proper identification, and identification of the subject matter, so that you give people a sense of the priority they need to give it. So that is key, the line, identifying line with email. I do occasionally stick to the dear so-and-sos, but that's because I'm a sweet little old-fashioned lady who's fond of old forms that are appropriate for letters but are not necessary on email.
It is so easy to respond to email.
It's too easy. That's the problem.
Right. Well, I'm wondering if you think all messages that are received should be acknowledged, even when there's not much to say except, got the message. Is it necessary to say that?
No, this is not like a social letter where you have to write back if you're going to have a correspondence. People will fire off a joke that they heard or pass on a little bit of something quickly, and it does not have to be answered immediately. I thought you were referring to what is a very interesting aspect of this. The ease with which you can send email removes that safety catch that people used to have before they fired off something that was highly emotional, mm-hmm. whether it was anger or passion or whatever. And so I have a rule there that the more emotional the message, the more cumbersome the method by which you have to send it.
That's probably a really good rule. So that means not the phone, not the fax.
Exactly. Because you know how it is. You pick up a telephone, you say something, and you regret it. Well, it's even worse with email. You type something out quickly, and a little itchy finger goes over the send button, and then the whole hand goes over the mouth. What have I done? That moment where you had to actually sit down and write it and then go out and mail it was a wonderful safety catch. Not enough of one, of course, but a good one.
There's a whole Seinfeld episode in which one of the characters spends the episode trying to retrieve a tape in which he left a very embarrassing message, a phone answering machine
yes.
tape.
Well, email is even worse in that respect.
Oh, I know.
Because
I know.
It goes out all over the place and it remains. Those things can be dug out. People think because they're so fleeting, they disappear. But they don't disappear.
So what's your general rule of thumb? You mentioned
Discretion.
Any other rules of thumb in deciding like what the best conveyor of a message is?
Well, you ask yourself, how quickly does this person need to hear this? And you don't overuse the technology. Just because you want to get through quickly. Now, let me just qualify this for a minute. Email you can send very quickly, but people can read it at their leisure. So that would be it's not a way of tugging people's sleeves as the telephone is and saying, come here right now, drop everything. But the more formal and the more loaded the statement, the more difficulty there should be in putting it down. That's why we have wedding invitations engraved. That takes a very long time. You get to think it over. And you write love letters in your own little hand, and that takes more time than firing them off. But you tell people that their house is on fire by the fastest means possible.
Judith Martin, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
You're welcome. I enjoy being here.
Judith Martin writes the syndicated Miss Manners column. Her new book is called Miss Manners Basic Training, Communication,